Good afternoon, Tigers. Can you hear me, everyone in the back? Check, check.
Good? Okay. No one's waving their arms, so I'm assuming this is good. Tigers and guests, welcome to the Suncoast Tiger Bay Club luncheon. My name is Joanna Cheshire. I'm vice president of the Suncoast Tiger Bay Club. Before we begin our program, let me remind you why it is that we gather. The Suncoast Tiger Bay Club serves as a civic commons where thought leaders and citizens of all political stripes can gather and discuss pressing issues of our time. These conversations are always important, but in 2020, it's more historical than ever. I urge you to keep the conversation going, become a member, and attend our thought-provoking programming throughout the year. Before we begin our program, I would like to cover a few important club items. Membership renewals continue through the end of this month. So thank you for all of you that have gotten taken care of that, and just know that you have until the end of February to renew. Please see Amy before you leave if you have any questions. If Amy can raise her hand. Amy's in the back there. The grace period for renewing members ends March 1st. So to continue receiving these discounted tickets to the luncheons and the ability to ask our guest speakers questions, please make sure you renew or join. And our young Tigers, we have a few in the house today. Suncoast Tiger Bay Club is committed to the development of our future leaders. We call them young Tigers. Each luncheon, we welcome local high school and college students into our discussion. So join me in welcoming the young Tigers from Tarpon Springs High School. If you can raise your hands. We've got senior Bria Denneman. And junior Brianna Leger. They're joined by their chaperone, Coach Jason Ranzi. Thank you guys for joining us. You can help support our young Tigers by sponsoring a table or even a luncheon. Please talk to Amy again for more information. Seems to be a theme here. Suncoast Tiger Bay also supports future Tigers with an annual scholarship to graduating Pinellas County seniors who have demonstrated community involvement and leadership. Every table has a black bowl on it. Anything that you put in that black bowl today, any monetary donation goes directly to the scholarship, so please consider that. We will now welcome elected officials and candidates and ask them to introduce themselves. We have microphones coming around the room. If you can just raise your hand and we'll get everyone.
Liz Jack. I'm running for circuit judge. The election's in August.
That's it.
Nope. Hello, everyone. I'm Gina Driscoll, St. Petersburg City Council member for District 6 and Council Vice Chair.
Good morning, Amy Foster, St. Pete City Council, District 8.
I'm Robert Blackman, St. Pete City Council, District 1.
Okay. Thank you to Radio St. Pete and Tiger Bay Board Secretary Joe Bordeaux, as well as our media partner, St. Pete Catalyst, for live online broadcasting of today's program. We are honored to welcome Brian Auld back to the Tiger Den. After this introduction, Brian will have 20 to 25 minutes to present, followed by 20 to 25 minutes of your questions. Remember, only Tiger Bay members are allowed to ask questions to our guest. And young Tigers, thank you so much. That was my next line. Brian will have 1 to 2 minutes to answer each question. Today's Tiger Timer is the lovely Tiger Bay Board Member Corey Adler. There are 3 audience members who will rank each question and select the best one for a prestigious Fang and Claw Award. That'll be awarded at the end of the question session. The rules for the Fang and Claw question session are on your tables. Again, only Tiger Bay members and young Tigers may ask. You will have 15 to 20 seconds to formulate your question. Make sure you introduce yourself, and please, no speeches. Today we welcome Brian Auld, president of the Tampa Bay Rays.
and vice chair of the Tampa Bay Rowdies. Brian is also a St. Petersburg resident who is deeply invested in this community. He serves on the board of Big Brothers Big Sisters of Tampa Bay and founded Friends of North Shore Elementary, just to name a few things. We are all well-versed in the long saga surrounding the Rays and the Tropicana Field. The Rays' use agreement with the city of St. Pete for the Tropicana Field is set to expire at the end of the 2027 season. I do legislative affairs for the sheriff's office, so I'm like... For more than a decade, the team, under Stu Sternberg's ownership, has sought a new stadium. They pitched a stadium on the waterfront where Al Lang sits today and received pushback from nearby residents. They brokered a deal with Mayor Kreisman to explore a stadium in Tampa that resulted in nothing. Now the team has proposed, and as some might say, a radical idea to split the regular season home games with Montreal, a sister city baseball team, so to speak. Now, this has happened in major sports to a much smaller degree, with the Buffalo Bills having played a game or two just across the border in Toronto, or the Green Bay Packers playing just a few games just a few hours away in Milwaukee. While this idea has been met with significant pushback, the team is working to move forward. Some say this is a ploy for leverage to move the team full-time to another area. In other words, move the team to a city that offers them the most perks, and say the full-time move is because the fans in Tampa Bay wouldn't support their idea to split the season. Others say this is pitting St. Petersburg and Tampa against each other, and a growing few have embraced the sister city idea and welcome its potential. We have many questions about the specifics, and I am very hopeful that Brian can give us some insight on how sister city baseball might actually work and why it could be a good solution, not just for the team's wallet, but also our community. Please help me give a warm tiger welcome to Brian Ald.
I think last time I was here, Peter Golenbach introduced me, and there was a significantly more fanfare, though no more information, let me put it that way. Thank you, Joanna. Thank you all for being here. Thank you, elected officials. I really appreciate the chance to enter the tiger den. I will do my very best to answer any and all questions, but let's start with a few words. It has been an extraordinary last six months for the Rays and the Rowdies. Between a postseason berth for both teams, a wild card victory for the Rays, a five-game series with the Astros, and the subsequent cheating scandal that has embroiled that franchise, and the announcement of the sister city plan, it is safe to say that emotions and passions have been running high. So I again appreciate the opportunity to tell you all a little bit about our team, our stadium efforts, and our business. First and foremost, we are a mission-driven organization. And as I begin every speech, I remind everyone that our mission is to energize the community through the magic of Rays baseball and now Rowdy soccer. Everything we do, in every way, is in support and advancing of those goals. The best way for us to do that, of course, is winning games. So let's start there with the teams. I'm going to spend most of my time today on the Rays, but I want to note that the Rowdies had an extraordinary first season under our ownership last year. After winning 11 straight games to start the season, we made it to the playoffs the first time since 2017 and only the second time since 2012. We have an outstanding coach in Neil Collins and a great team president in Lee Cohen, and together they have positioned us for success for the long term. Please get involved with the Rowdies. Come watch some games. There is no greater event than experiencing Al Lang Field on a beautiful evening. As for the Rays, 1 year ago we won 96 games, took the eventual American League champion Houston Astros to the brink of elimination in a Game 5, and hosted two incredible postseason wins at Tropicana Field. If you were paying attention, you got the feeling that this was just the tip of the iceberg in terms of what this team could be. We had severe injuries to Blake Snell and Tyler Glasnow. We got glimpses of what Austin Meadows, Yandy Diaz, Willy Adames, Brendan McKay, and Brandon Lau can become. And we enjoy the character and charisma of guys like G-Man Choi and Charlie Morton, and in my opinion, the best defensive center fielder I've ever seen, at least, in Kevin Kiermaier. With health and the additions of Yoshi Tsutsugo, Hunter Renfro, Jose Martinez, and most recently Manuel Margot, there is plenty of reason for the incredibly high expectations being set around these parts. We understand that the competition is fierce. I am aware of the Yankees and their super team and a pitcher they signed this offseason, but we aren't backing down from anyone. And I want to remind you all that this year's team is just the latest chapter in our story. despite losing two coaches to manager jobs 1 year ago, Rocco Baldelli to the Minnesota Twins and Charlie Montoya to the Toronto Blue Jays, and despite losing two executives to head baseball operations jobs this offseason, Chaim Bloom to the Red Sox and James Click to those Astros, we remain the best baseball operations department on the planet. What Eric Neander, Kevin Cash, and our staff does is nothing short of amazing. We have great players, and we use them better than anyone else in a way that makes the whole so much greater than the sum of the parts. We're the most innovative team in the league, and possibly all of sports, having deployed shifts, platoons, bullpen strategies, and, most famously, the opener. We do each of these after great consideration and analysis, and we only do it when it makes us better. We compete in front of the entire world just about every day, and yet we maintain our edge, our boldness, and our creativity in the pursuit of winning. And don't forget, we've got the best farm system in the league and the very best prospect in all of baseball named Wander Franco. None of this is new. We've won the fifth most games in all of Major League Baseball since 2008. We've been in the postseason five times over that span and won 90 games seven times, a feat only matched by the Dodgers, Red Sox, and Yankees, and I don't think I have to explain to anyone in this room the resource disparities between those teams and ours. We've enjoyed a run of success that many fan bases don't get to experience in their lifetimes. And we've done it all with integrity, playing by the rules, with great class and humility. We are a proud organization. Of course, we have had our challenges, and I don't pretend that we're perfect. Our attendance issues are not new, nor are they news. Despite the remarkable on-field success, we have finished last or second to last in attendance just about every year, occasionally in front of the Marlins. We are, nevertheless, proud of how we run our business and of all the progress we've made. I assume there are people in this room that remember the Devil Rays, if I could get a show of hands on that. If you remember the Devil Rays, you know how far we've come. We have a diverse fan base representing every age group, every racial group, every group in our entire region. Every T-baller is now on the hometown Tampa Bay Rays when they begin their baseball careers with uniforms paid for by our foundation. We all see, wherever we go, our fans proudly wearing Rays gear throughout so many counties. Just about every night that we're on TV, we are the highest rated program on cable, our radio ratings every bit as robust. Our fans love us. People love us. We know this, and we are sincerely grateful for it. We've worked tirelessly to earn it. We've been recognized throughout the league and nationally for being at or near the top on just about every affordability metric out there. We have creative giveaways and promotions that have won awards. And we have the widest variety of tickets in pro sports, at least as far as I can tell. Over the years, we've invested more than $50 million into our home at Tropicana Field, most recently on new LED lights, new turf, and unique seating areas like the left field ledge and this year's unveiling, which will be called the Chalk Box. Perhaps our most popular improvement is the 360-degree walkway that allows our fans to enjoy baseball the way they should, being able to visit every part of the ballpark without losing sight of the field. Our new concessionaire, Levy, has added more and better local options throughout the ballpark. And don't forget, we continue to allow you to bring your own food and drink, if that's your preference or if that's what you can afford. We love Tropicana Field, and we are proud of our home. But it is an old building. Construction began in 1986, a full 12 years before the Devil Rays played their first game. Every year, maintenance costs go up, as do our air conditioning bills, now into the millions of dollars. Of course, as I've said, every year since I've been with the Rays, Tropicana Field will be a better place to watch a baseball game in 2020 than it has ever been before. That's how much we care about our home. So what's the problem, you might ask? Why do we continue to drag in attendance? If we're so affordable, we've got these great promotions, we have this incredible team, why aren't people showing up? We've been studying this issue for years, and there isn't a simple answer. The data does tell a story, however, and it's one worth sharing. We have fewer people and businesses that live within a 30-minute drive than any other team in Major League Baseball, and it's not even close. And by the way, there's some handouts that back this data up on the way out if you want to check us out on it. Had we been able to move to Tampa as the Ybor City proposal contemplated, those numbers improved but would still be near the bottom of the league. As the Tampa Bay Partnership's regional competitiveness report recently confirmed, not only do we have fewer people and businesses, but our people and businesses are less wealthy and less profitable than our counterparts in other major league markets. There is an enormity to Major League Baseball that simply doesn't apply to the other sports. We need 30,000 people 81 times a year, night after night after night, sometimes 10 nights in a row, weekends, and weeknights. Major League Baseball isn't in markets that we compare ourselves to. Over the years, the Tampa and St. Pete Chambers and EDCs have taken benchmarking trips to Raleigh-Durham, Charlotte, Austin, Portland, Columbus, and Nashville, among others. All fantastic, wonderful cities. None that is home to a Major League Baseball team. Major League Baseball requires the very biggest cities with the densest, most populous, highly populated communities, which is fine, but it is not who we are. It's not even who we want to be. Tampa Bay is an entrepreneurial region. We're not dominated by Fortune 500 companies. We're a variety of beautiful, eclectic, colorful communities: St. Pete, Tampa, Clearwater, Lakeland, Sarasota, to name only a few. Separated by our beautiful bay, connected by our wonderful bridges, but we are not a suburban metropolis like Dallas, Phoenix, or Atlanta. We have incredible weather year-round, but many people travel during the summer times to places that are cooler. I'm sure you may be able to imagine the number of potential season ticket holders that simply tell us, "We would buy, but my family goes to North Carolina or Utah or Canada every summer." Over the years, we've heard from our fans dozens of reasons for our attendance issues, our attendance challenges. But a concise summary could be, baseball doesn't belong in a dome. It's supposed to be played outdoors on natural grass. There are just too many games, and there's too much to do. And in the summer here, a lot of people leave town. And that leads us to where we are today. After 3 years working to build a full-season ballpark in Ybor City, it became apparent the funding simply wasn't there from either the team or the public side. In its most basic sense, after we evaluated what kind of corporate support we were likely to receive, with a huge assist from the Raise 2020 group of community and business leaders, and after we worked hand-in-hand with city and county officials to understand financing options, it was clear that there simply was not a path to rationalizing the building of a nearly $1 billion stadium for either the team or the local municipalities. In order to reach an agreement that might be satisfactory to all sides, we had to find a way to dramatically improve the Rays' revenue picture and reduce the necessary public contribution. We couldn't find a way through. It was depressing. We had no idea how we were going to be able to keep the team in Tampa Bay, given the many challenges we faced and all the information we had before us, until we started to think seriously about the possibility of a sister city relationship with Montreal. Let's begin with the revenue part of the equation. If we can successfully execute this idea, the Rays might be able to add another television deal for the Canadian market. We may be able to dramatically increase our sponsorship revenues. In fact, many of our current sponsors have pledged to spend the same amount with us so long as they get more assets, even though we would have fewer games. Adding another similar market up north, we may be able to match the numbers we can generate here in Tampa Bay. We might be able to double our attendance, maybe even more. The vast majority of our fans come to between 1 and 3 games per year. If we can get those fans to come to the same number of games in a new, beautiful, state-of-the-art outdoor ballpark during the nicest time of our year, and we do the same thing in Montreal, well, we will have doubled our attendance. And now let's look at the public support part of the equation. First and foremost, eliminating the need for a roof knocks roughly $300 million off the cost of the project. We could conceivably build 2 intimate outdoor ballparks for about the same amount that the Texas Rangers are spending on their new retractable roof stadium in Arlington. Perhaps, too, when we talk about the possibilities around spring training and the powerful tendency of Canadians to visit Florida that already exists, this new ballpark would come with even greater direct economic impact than a full-season dome stadium would have for the region. And when you consider that the Rowdies could also use it, and that we could bring back the Enchant Christmas Light Show and the nearly 350,000 visitors who came to Tropicana Field for it, and that we have repeatedly said and remain committed to the facility being open and available to the public 365 days per year, well, I think there's a pretty good story to be told. As one public official told me after initially discussing this idea, it sounds like we may be able to get significantly more economic impact at a significantly lower cost to the public. That's exactly what we're trying to do. And now let's talk about the fans. I understand that we are asking our fans to digest a new concept, and that change is difficult, uncertainty, challenging. But we believe this will be great for our fans. First and foremost, we secure the future of Major League Baseball in Tampa Bay for future generations, for our children and theirs, in our hometown. Number 2, all fans will have the opportunity to attend up to 40 games plus spring training every year. Again, as a reminder, the vast majority come to between 1 and 3 games per season. Third, we will continue to be on TV every single time we play. For all of those who consume our product primarily through TV and radio, and we know that that is a huge portion of our fan base, that will still be 100% available. And fourth, we are doing this to be a more competitive team for the long run, to be able to continue to challenge for the division title every year, to play those meaningful games in September, and to be able to do so with a higher payroll. And finally, with that higher payroll, we will make the postseason more often, and we will split the postseason series between the two sister cities equitably and fairly. This is why we're asking everyone to keep an open mind. When you look at the over 20 years of data we have surrounding Major League Baseball in this region and at Tropicana Field, when you look at the demographics of the region, the distances that separate our many wonderful cities, when you ask the hard questions, we have concluded that it's extremely unlikely that full-season baseball can succeed in Tampa Bay. We're not missing by a few thousand people every night. We are at less than half of where we need to be, despite extraordinary on-field success. We believe that the sister city concept deserves the chance to be heard by open minds. We are here to make our case, and we want to do so with community partners vested in keeping MLB in the region for generations. Now, before we get to questions, I want to talk a little bit about what we do in the community. I spent the first 5 years of my career as a fourth grade teacher in a low-income neighborhood, so I'm well aware of what a great corporate citizen can do for an organization that needs help. I am unabashedly proud of the work our organization, our people, do in the community and of the way that we do it. We have an employee's purse culture. We explicitly put our staff ahead of our revenues, of our customer service, even of our product. Our culture believes that if we have the right people in the right places, give them the resources they need to do their jobs, all else takes care of itself. That premise, more than any other, and that we live it every day, has been the secret sauce to the Rays' success all these years. They can try to take our managers, they can try to take our executives, but no one has managed to copy that yet. Our employees have a robust wellness program, which includes free yoga classes every Wednesday and subsidized healthy meals available. We provide total flexibility with respect to personal needs, appreciating that our schedule is grueling. We don't want any of our staff to have a moment's pause about being there for an ill relative, attending a child's Little League game, or whatever else it may be. A key part of that employees first culture is a policy that we've had in place for over 15 years now. Every staff is given one paid day off per month to volunteer anywhere they choose in the community. The policy is a recruiting and retention tool that gets us exactly the kind of people working at the Rays and Rowdies that we want. It also makes for more caring and connected members of our community. And through it, we've developed relationships with just about every NPO in the region. We're represented on dozens of boards, we sponsor hundreds of events, and we fund myriad great causes. We go way beyond standard partnerships, though. It's truly about people for us. We've grown strong relationships with MacDill, with law enforcement, with our public school system. And that's why all military, veterans, first responders, and teachers get two free tickets to over a dozen games a year through our Salute to Service program. When no other sports teams would sign on to the Supreme Court brief in favor of marriage equality, the Rays answered the call immediately, knowing that our LGBTQ employees, fans, and community had to know where we stood, and the LGBTQ community knew exactly how to reach us because we've been partnering with them for over 15 years to promote pride. We were also there in the wake of the Pulse nightclub shooting, hosting 40,000 people at Tropicana Field and donating 100% of the proceeds from that night to the Victims Fund. When there were questions about whether or not a Confederate monument dedicated with a hateful speech belonged in the Hillsborough County Courthouse, it was the Rays who said first and said publicly that it needed to come down. When we were selected by Major League Baseball to represent the league at a spring game in Cuba, attended by President Obama, we understood that we were on the international stage, and we proudly and professionally represented the region and the United States. When Hurricane Irma bore down on our region, we utilized Tropicana Field as a staging ground for first responders. We distributed every bottle of water we had on site into the community. We joined forces with our longtime partner, Feeding Tampa Bay, to distribute meals to those in need. We were recognized by the city of St. Petersburg for our extraordinary response to the storm, and for that we're very proud. We've been there during and in the aftermath of far too many hurricanes, whether they struck Houston, Puerto Rico, the Panhandle, or our own region. We provided resources and manpower whenever called upon. It was only the Rays who were able to find and charter a plane to Puerto Rico, partnering with the Moffitt Cancer Center to bring doctors to the island and precious research samples home away from harm. Just this past year, we partnered with Creative Pinellas to launch our artist print series, paying and promoting the talented artists that make our community shine. Only last week, I was able to visit the brand new Campbell Park Resource Center located at John Hopkins Middle School. It provides one-stop wraparound services to the families in need, to families in need, whether that be through the food bank, or tax prep assistance. We were able to partner with the United Way and bring aboard two of our best partners in Duke Energy and Suncoast Credit Union to get that endeavor off the ground. And this coming year, we will honor the 10-year anniversary of the Home Run Club, originally sponsored by James Shields, which hosts foster children in a double-wide suite every single night of the season. These kids get to spend the night with baseball, hot dogs, and treats, away from the challenges of their everyday. For most of them, they tell us it represents the very best night of their year. From the efforts this suite has facilitated, we have matched several children with their forever families, and I've been fortunate enough to witness adoptions go official as a result. It is truly remarkable. I want to leave you with a couple closing thoughts. I'm here today because I love this community. I've lived here longer than I have anywhere else, twice as long actually now. Tampa Bay is my home. My wife and I are sending our children to North Shore Elementary School, just up the street. We work every single day to make that school as good as it can possibly be, even helping to form an independent nonprofit to support it. The same is true of all of our employees and of our owner. This is where we live. This is where we want to be, and that is why we are so deeply invested in this community. We've spent 16 years making the Rays into a local treasure, building a fan base into something of which we can all be proud. We are pushing for this sister city concept not in some convoluted attempt to leave town. There are much simpler and more lucrative ways to do that. We are pushing for this sister city concept because it is the only path we see to remaining in the home we love so much. As we have used the power of innovation, analysis, and creativity to revolutionize the game of baseball, we seek to again harness the power of a fresh, new concept to keep Major League Baseball in Tampa Bay for generations. We are asking you to join us, and we need you to join us. We love this team, this area, and this community every bit as much as you do. We wouldn't be doing this if we didn't think it had the potential to be a wonderful solution for our home, for our baseball team, and for our soccer team. But this is your team, too. It belongs to all of us, and we can only succeed if we go at it together. We know that we can't push the boulder up the hill alone. We need support, we need advocates, and we need believers. Without partners willing to attack this challenge with realism and vision, reason and passion, confidence and optimism, the future of Major League Baseball in this market is very much in doubt. So together, let's erase that doubt and do something that could be truly revolutionary for the Rays, for sports, for our region, and for our communities. Let's be more than just open-minded to the possibilities. Let's pursue them boldly and with fearless vigor. Thank you. I look forward to your questions. I get to call on people, right? We'll start here.
Congratulations on putting a winning field on the field with a low payroll and low attendance. In your opening remarks, you laid out three conditions for success: new stadium, new location, and splitting the season with another city. Do you have any empirical evidence that if those three conditions were met, Tampa Bay would support you at the 30,000 attendance level?
It's a great question. And I don't know that there is a way for us to generate certainty around the answer to that. But the logic that we're using is what I mentioned before. The people who come to 1-3 games, the vast majority of our fans, I believe will show up for a winning baseball team in a beautiful outdoor ballpark, wherever it may be in Tampa Bay, at least as many times. And if they do that, the 1 million plus that come to our 81 games now will be condensed into half as many. If we are able to do that, we'll be at or near that 30,000 number. We'll certainly be in a lot better position than we are today, and that's the gamble we're making. I have to believe that if we continue to operate the way we have, if we continue to show that we're committed to this area, to this region, to this community, as we have always been, that people will show up, and that those who have informed me that they will never support this team ever again will eventually come around. But that's a risk we have to bear. Yes, ma'am.
Anthea Penrose, what will happen to the name?
Do you have any ideas?
I'll think of them.
What?
I mean, presumably Rays would have to stay, but could we still be Tampa Bay? Would Montreal go for that?
We have many years before this could possibly begin, and of course, the soonest we can do this, according to our use agreement, is 2028. So we have a lot of time to figure that out. I believe in the creativity within our organization. I believe in the creativity that is embedded in both the Tampa-St. Pete area and the Montreal area. We're going to be able to figure something out. We're going to find animals with migratory patterns. We're going to explore every possible thing that we can get to, and we will come up with something that everybody can embrace. I don't know the answer to that question today, though.
Yes, sir.
Peter Goldenbach. I might suggest the All-American race.
Suggestion noted.
The dog track on Gandhi is closing down. No more dog racing at the end of this year.
Yes.
The dog track seems to be sitting, yes, it's in Pinellas County, but it's just across the Gandhi from Tampa. And people could get here from Tampa and from St. Petersburg, and yet, from everything I understand, the Rays don't want to look to the dog track. Is there a reason for that?
We are eager to explore every site out there. When we went through this the last time, we explored many sites in Tampa, we explored many sites in Hillsborough, and many in Pinellas, and the dog track got a good look. There are concerns about traffic and parking around it, and there is an even larger concern about the fact that it's in a coastal floodplain area. I don't know what the general beliefs are around climate change here, but I think it's real and that the sea level may be rising and that we need to prepare for those things. There are engineering issues around that site that we've been led to believe are going to be very difficult to overcome. If it turns out that there is especially public interest in exploring that opportunity, we are absolutely eager to look at it. But in terms of Ybor City, Al Lang, and Tropicana Field, we've got three pretty compelling sites that have sort of risen to the top in terms of relative ease of development, and where we could have, a pretty good home for our baseball team. The future of transportation, of course, which is so much in question in this region, remains a major issue for us as well. Yes, sir.
Marty Landris. Aside from wishful thinking, what makes you believe that people would come to an open-air stadium in the summer, and especially other kinds of events in the summer with it's hot and humid?
Well, we get great numbers at Al Lang for our soccer team during the summer, so that's example one that I would give you. Number two, let's be clear, a very important part of this proposal is we're not playing baseball games outdoors in the hottest part of the summer. We would have to move north to Montreal. That's what allows us to not put a roof on the stadium, and that's what allows us to pursue this possibility. Climate's important. We envision shade. We envision all sorts of wind mechanisms that we originally developed when we were planning to move to Al Lang back in 2007, 2008. And so technology's only improved since then. I'm very confident that we're going to be able to provide a comfortable environment to watch baseball during April, May, and the beginning of June here, as well as for spring training. And I don't see any reason, based on all the climatology that I've studied, to believe that we won't be successful in that endeavor. They play outdoor baseball in Atlanta in August. We'll be better than that. Yes, sir.
David Marger. I'm sharing season tickets since day one. Enjoy
thank you,
going.
Thank you, thank you.
Wish I had more friends.
I do, too. Both so they could buy tickets and because friends are good to have.
I've been enjoying this whole topic of the sister city. I have not heard any positive remarks from players or the players' union, just as far as moving your family. I'm wondering how the conversation went at the Auld household when you came home one day and said, I'm excited to tell you that I'm hoping that we're going to get up and move to Montreal for 3 or 4 months a year.
Well, I'm not quite as crucial to our operations as the players are. So within the Auld House, we could probably work it around school schedules, and we certainly would expect to have strong Canadian and French-speaking partners up north that work the operations there. With respect to the players, everything is a negotiation, and I mean that totally respectfully. But we put a pretty compelling case on the floor for them to consider. First, if you have children in school, you're going to be able to spend your spring training in the same home that you spend the regular part of the season. Just about every other team, save the Arizona Diamondbacks, has to move to either Arizona or Florida right around spring break and for the remainder of the school year in their situations. Our families won't. Our players won't have to. Second, we're doing this so that we will have significantly more money to spend on payroll. That money gets split amongst the 26 major leaguers on the roster now this year, and that money gets split throughout the industry in terms of Major League Baseball. It also should result in the Rays being a much smaller drain on the revenue sharing system, which ultimately tends to feed into the players' pockets as well. So there's a good discussion to be had there. I promise you this, we have made the Tampa Bay Rays a team that players want to come to despite our challenges. Charlie Morton is with us despite offers that exceeded and before. Now, there are some players that like us here. There are some that don't. We're going to continue to make this a player-friendly environment. We're going to continue to understand that our success is based more than anything on our players. But I'm confident that there will be worse things these guys have to deal with than moving to another climate when it gets incredibly hot here, and that we're going to help them accommodate all the challenges that come with that as conveniently as possible. Yes, let's go back there.
Bob Szafranski, my question is, are you going to make a double play like the Atlanta Braves? They came from Boston to Milwaukee and then from Milwaukee to Atlanta. Are you going to go to Montreal and then to Orlando?
No. I hope that my speech made it clear 100% of the reason that we're doing this. Stay in Tampa Bay for generations to come. It's not a short-term solution. We'd have to have agreements in both markets for 30 years. That's the plan. No interest in going anywhere else.
Yes, sir. Please wait for the microphone, Jason.
Save me. Thanks, Brian. Jason Mathis with the Downtown Partnership. What does your timeline look like? You've got a 2028 deadline to make a decision about what you're going to do after the contract runs out here in St. Pete. When will you make a decision? When do you need to make a decision? How is the time ticking down?
It's ticking very rapidly. We're working on a solution for 2028 today. We don't have to have a decision made by 2028. We have to know where we are playing on opening day of 2028. It is unclear at best and likely that we will not be welcome at Tropicana Field on opening day of 2028. And so we need to know where we're going to be playing. We've been at this for well over a decade already. So I don't take lightly how long it can take for things to develop. That's why we are working at that in earnest right now. If we aren't able to be successful with this concept, we're going to have to figure something out, I would argue, no later than the beginning of 2022 in order to make an appropriate effort at finding that new home for opening day of 2028. It's 2020. January 22 is not very far away. We got to get at this. We got to figure it out. Yes, sir.
Thank you for being here, Brian. My question is, are you prepared to pledge today that the headquarters of the Rays organization will stay in St. Petersburg, or at least the Tampa Bay area, if this proposal is approved?
Yes, absolutely. Again, this is where my family is. This is where we all want to be. We are doing all of this precisely so that we can accomplish that goal. Yes.
Andrew.
I was calling on the lady before you so rudely grabbed the mic, but we'll accept it.
In your conversations with Montreal, what is your opinion as to the willingness and strength of the option of them building a stadium? I know Bronfman has a lot of juice. Do you feel that they're pretty strong and down the road to being able to make this actually happen, Brian?
Yes, Montreal is working in a parallel process to what we're doing down here, and everybody recognizes that success only occurs if it works on all sides. And let's not forget about Major League Baseball. You know, Rob Manfred recently spoke up about the fact that owners are coming around to this idea, that they believe it could be good for the game. We've got to get Major League Baseball signed off, we've got to get Montreal, and we've got to get Tampa Bay. Each of them is in the beginning stages right now, but moving in the right direction. And I think as minds are opening, minds are changing, people are considering the economic realities of the two markets, and what could be is becoming more and more exciting to more and more people. Outdoor baseball is great. The Montreal community ran into trouble with a dome stadium in the wrong part of town. It's not an unfamiliar story to people down here. We can do something potentially very special. We can create business, community, and cultural connections between two great areas of North America. And when you really start to think about it, it gets exciting. The St. Petersburg EDC recently took a, business development trip to Montreal. I promise you this, if we accomplish this, the number of connections that we're going to be able to provide on that type of a trip will pale in comparison to anything going on anywhere else in the country.
Brian, we're going to let one of our young tigers ask a question.
Okay. I would be thrilled if you went around just getting the questions, because I feel like I'm picking poorly. So, young tiger.
Priya Deneman. With over 200 baseball and softball and soccer programs of the high schools in the Tampa Bay area, are you willing to bring them out, all the teams, to the games to bring in more fans?
Yeah. Nothing would make me happier. We have group sales representatives that work with all schools across the region. We have huge school group days. And we make sure that our games are affordable to every single demographic, and particularly the youth. So absolutely, we're all about that. It's one of our major goals, both for the Rowdies and for the Rays. I'm just following the microphone now.
Thanks very much, Brian. Kelly Kirshner, would you commit today to the audience that is part of this to maximize the taxpayer investment in a large stadium that would be only for half the year and half the season, that you would go after a Major League Soccer team to fill the stadium the rest of that period of time?
No, we've got a great team in the USL that we certainly expect to put into the same facility. And let me be clear, you've got a stadium for the entire year. We've got a stadium for the entire year. There won't be as many regular season baseball games there. There quite possibly could be a full spring schedule. There quite possibly could be a full Rowdy schedule. There quite possibly could be any number of other events. I mentioned Enchant and the 350,000 people who came to the Trop this last December. We want it busy. We want to host concerts. We want to do things, in particular during the winter, the nicest time of the year here, that we've been unable to do at the Trop, partly because of all the costs associated with opening the building. So I can pledge to you that if we're successful, we're going to do everything within our power to make sure that the public has access to the facility every single day of the year. But the future of the Rowdies and whether it makes sense to do MLS is a far more complicated question, one that I absolutely intend to pursue, and I hope the data leads us to believing is a great conclusion. Okay, like nothing would make me happier than to have the MLS Rowdies and your Tampa Bay, Montreal, All-American, North American Snow Geese playing in the same facility year-round, and I believe that if we can't accomplish that, you will have people who look back on this moment and say, thank goodness we were bold enough to try. Yes. Oh, I'm going to let the mic go. I promise to answer your question, though, since I did point at you. Oh, right here. Here we are.
Marilyn Miller. With all of the top executives with the Rays that have been spirited away by other teams.
Spirit is a kind word.
I'm concerned about you being courted away by other teams.
You are very safe. For all the family ties that I have that would keep me here and the commitment that I just ran through, there's also the fact that nobody wants me.
Jim Gillespie, I'd like you to comment on this. Several weeks ago, we had a panel of African Americans who live on the South Side. One of them, an African American male, rather angrily pointed out that when the field was built, many small businesses suffered and collapsed, and that the jobs that came were part-time jobs or no jobs at all. That ties into the conversations that have been occurring with the 85 acres being better for mixed-use development and better for the city. Could you comment on how you would evaluate those factors?
Sure. Though our organization was not here when Tropicana Field was built, as I mentioned, it was back in 1986, and though I wouldn't pretend to have a full understanding of the damage that occurred to the community that you reference, we as a going concern and as a local Major League Baseball team feel responsible for it, and we have worked hard to educate ourselves and our staff on it. In fact, we had the Florida Holocaust Museum come and visit and do an all-staff presentation, helping to explain some of the issues around baseball and that site in particular. It's something that is very important to me. Were we to be a part of Tropicana Field's future redevelopment, and I certainly think it is something that ought to be considered, community benefits agreements with teeth would be absolutely crucial to our involvement. We firmly believe that the Tropicana Field site, properly developed, properly planned, properly executed, and that with the Rays involved, we have a higher chance of successfully accomplishing that mission, and we have the chance to do even more with the site than we will be without, may be able to address some of those ills, may be able to correct some of those wrongs. I'm not an expert on the area. I can only tell you that we've been working on it for a long time. I mentioned the Campbell Park Resource Center. We have a South St. Petersburg initiative. We engage in these conversations all the time. We believe that they're incredibly important, and we very much want to be supporters of anything that we can to making the situation better. However, we're not the right people to be out front and leading it. We are a baseball team. We are caring corporate citizen and community, but that's going to have to be an effort that involves just about everyone in this fine city. I certainly tell you I'm willing to commit everything that I have to making it successful. Thank you for the question.
Oh, yep.
Hi, Brian. Thanks for coming. Robert Heyman. It's kind of a follow-up question to the one about the timeline, maybe a little pessimistic here, but if an agreement is reached by 2020, and that agreement is that the city of Tampa will build a stadium for a part-time season with Montreal, I know that in the use agreement that the Tampa Bay Rays have a right to 50% of the development rights for the Tropicana property. If that type of agreement is signed, would the Rays at that point be willing to abandon their 50% part of the development since they're basically rejecting any further activity on the Tropicana site?
Let me be clear about our understanding of the use agreement, and I think it's fairly universally understood, but there's been a lot about it of late. The use agreement is designed to prevent either the city or the Rays from developing anything on the Tropicana Field site without the others' go-ahead. The city can't put an Applebee's on the corner any more than we can put a large hotel on the corner unless we both agree that it's the right thing to do. There was an article about the Rays threatening to hold up any development along the way. I was merely trying to explain that without the Rays' approval, it's very difficult to move forward. And in the event that anyone was under the misunderstanding that development could go along without the Rays, I wanted to correct that assumption. I've been pleased, and I thank a city council person in the audience for helping to make clear that the Rays were not making any threats, so much as really trying to explain the way it works. We have to be able to run our operation at Tropicana Field. We need the parking. We need to be sure that construction projects that are going to inhibit or prohibit people from making it to the games don't happen. We have rights to that as much. I think there are all kinds of ways for the city and the Rays to work through that use agreement to a better place than we are in today. But we are going to continue to have the obligations and rights within it until we come to an agreement. In the event that we are on our way to Tampa with a full sister city plan, and there are projects that aren't going to affect people's ability to continue to come to Tropicana Field, where we will still be playing baseball games during construction, and where we are still required to play through 2028, certainly we'd be open to considering them, and certainly there would be ways where we wouldn't necessarily have to receive the proceeds from the sale. In the current environment, where we are being held to play our games through 2027, even though theoretically a ballpark might be able to get built prior to that, it's hard to imagine the way all those approvals come together. And so we'll continue to be keep an open dialogue with Mayor Kreisman and the city administration. We'll continue to make sure that all parts of the use agreement are abided by. But my strong hope is that we're able to find a solution that allows us to pursue this concept in earnest and pursue figuring out the future of the Rays as soon as possible, as opposed to no sooner than 2028.
Hi, Brian.
Hello, Shirley.
As a 23-year Rays season ticket holder, I was less than enchanted when informed the Rays are going mobile only in 2020. I don't have a smartphone, and I don't plan to have one in my lifetime. All discounts for me with the Rays are going away. I feel like we're being penalized by the Rays. I might discontinue my tickets for 2021, and this mobile thing could be a deal breaker for me. What are you going to do about it?
Well, I would suggest to you that trying to fight against having a smartphone may not be the best strategy. But you make your choices, and we'll do what we can. The reason we are doing this is in order to make a better experience for the vast majority of our fans. Last year, we went to cash-free. Lines moved quicker, service improved, and we had next to no complaints about the process, despite a lot of fears from the community about how it was going to work. The same thing is going to happen here. If we have you on your phone, we're going to be able to cater products to you in a way that we couldn't otherwise. I don't know exactly where that's going to go yet. When I got my first smartphone, I certainly didn't expect that one day I would be I'm sure you're aware of Uber, calling cars to come and pick you up with strangers who would then drive you anywhere that you wanted for less than a taxi. It seemed impossible. But when we harness technology, we can make things better. And so whether that's mobile ordering, in-seat food service, the ability for us to suggest to you that that you're with your family and we want to provide a T-shirt to your child, all these things we're going to be better at, we're going to be smarter about, because we have you using your phone in a way that's materially useful to you at our ballpark. I hope it bears out. I hope you'll reconsider. I certainly hope you'll keep your season tickets. Thank you so much for your 23 years. It's a good reminder to everyone that we have been here for 23 years. Yes, sir. Oh, sorry. Back here. Maybe we'll go there next.
Hi, Brian. Gregory Haney. Thank you for coming to speak to us. So the regular season split conceptually is understandable, but how do you envision the cherished playoff games working on a split?
So we have to figure it out. I use the term equitably and fairly. I made a joke earlier today. We need to do the equivalent of having the Tampa Bay and Montreal communities cut the piece of pie in half, and the other guy gets to pick which side they want, right? We've got to sort it through, and we've got to make sure that we do it in a way that doesn't hurt us competitively. Like the name, this is an issue that I am so excited to deal with, and I think is going to be relatively simple compared to building a couple stadiums in two different countries. But the ideas we have right now would be either to alternate series or to alternate based on the year. I'm sure you saw the AP recently reported that Major League Baseball is considering, I'm not validating this fact or confirming it, a new playoff format. By the time this all happens, we may have different issues to argue about with respect to the playoffs. Either way, we're going to make the postseason twice as often. You're going to get at least as many games as you would have otherwise. And one thing on that, because I've heard it a lot. We had $20 tickets available for our two postseason games this year against the Houston Astros. I'm so grateful to everybody who came. I'm so grateful to everybody who comes. But there's been a lot of pushback on the fact that we may not have games at the end of the summer during the most exciting part of the pennant race, a time where we had record lows in attendance this past year despite winning 96 games. I couldn't be more sympathetic to the fact that people want to come to our games and they want to be there in person. But what's happening in our gate is not representative of that enormous demand, right? And so that's one of the reasons we're having to deal with this issue, right? We've got a great community. They love baseball, and they support us. I want to be very clear on that. If that wasn't the case, we wouldn't be trying all this. But there are some real issues here, and we've got to be able to address them and address them with realism. Yep.
William Willingham. Assuming a new stadium would cost $600,000 to $700,000, what percentage of that number would the Rays be willing to pay?
200%. You said 600 to 700,000. If we make that a million, it becomes a lot more difficult question. So I'm going to assume you meant million. Forgive me for being a jackass. I can't tell you what percentage now. It is site dependent. It is dependent on how things go in Montreal, and it is dependent on what we think the revenue picture would look like. But I hope what you heard from me, a significantly higher percentage than we could ever fathom paying for a full-season dome stadium. Our revenue picture is going to increase significantly. That's going to allow us to put more into the mortgage payment. The cost of the ballpark is coming down significantly. That's going to make the percentage of the total cost a lot higher. I know people want that answer. I wish that we had it. We're going to work on it. It will eventually come out if we're able to be successful. I certainly think we ought to get to the point where we're at least able to think that through with concrete numbers.
Brian J. Miller, how are you?
I'm good, thanks.
Let me start by saying that I, for one, like the idea of attending baseball games outdoors here when the weather is nice. But in the interest of exploring ways to moderate the cost of a new stadium that wouldn't be used for 80 games but for 40 games, if Allegheny Field were an option, would it make any sense to expand the existing stadium? And if the answer is yes, would it save any money?
I don't have precise answers, but I can tell you what we know to this point. But first, 40 regular season baseball games, potentially all of spring training, plus the rowdies. You're at more events for sports than you would be in a regular season already. I know they're not all Major League Baseball teams. I just want to make sure we're all speaking the same language about it. I don't know that Al Lang saves money. I mentioned when you look in St. Petersburg and the top two sites, no disrespect to Derby Lane, you can look at that one too. Al Lang's a little bit further away for just about everybody than Tropicana Field. Al Lang is the most beautiful setting on the planet as far as I'm concerned. I mentioned how incredible it is to go catch Rowdies games there. I would love to have our ballpark there and for it to be a beacon to the entire world to come visit St. Petersburg and see what amazing things we have. It may make sense to do it there. It may cost more because of its location. It may cost more because of some of the resiliency issues that may come from it. I think if we're going to get into this conversation in St. Petersburg, and I'm going to continue to do everything I can to embrace that conversation, there are a lot of pros and cons to Al Lang versus the Trop that need to be considered. At the Trop site, you have the potential to unlock even more development than with the team taking 20 acres than there will be without it. And that's per the city's own design concepts. You get so much more density, you get so much more development with a team there as an anchor. You may be able to provide a very real resiliency headquarters that we could design for, which you could not do at the Al Lang site. Tropicana Field happens to be one of the higher points in Pinellas County, I believe. You could theoretically address some of the issues that were brought up before in terms of correcting some ills from the past and the way the Tropicana Field site was built. And so I think there's really a lot of trade-offs between the two. I think both are fantastic, and as someone who lives right down the street from here, I really hope we get to start having serious conversations about each. Oh, that's it.
Unless there's any last questions. All right.
Everybody's in favor. Wonderful. Thank you.
Thank you. Thanks for all those thoughtful and insightful questions. I don't know about you all, but I got chills just listening to the list of community involvement that the Rays has here. And so thank you so much with that. So our prized award goes to Jim Gillespie. Come on up. We'll take a picture. This mug is for you. I'm sure you have a collection of them now.
I'm up to two.
Thank you so much. Thank you for our Tigers and Young Tigers for joining us today. And please look out for your social media and email for our March date.